I guess I would still now prefer Mario Gomez over Robert Lewandowski.
Oh,
just twist the knife.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. We've got a lot to talk about today, starting with Bayern's narrow win over FC Heidenheim in the DFB Pokal earlier today, the huge transfer news of Lucas Hernandez joining the club in the summer, and of course this weekend's all-important Bundesliga match against Borussia Dortmund. I'm Benjamin Scott and I'm joined by my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Tim Richards.
Hello.
And of course Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Yeah, so like I said, we're going to be starting off today talking about the Heidenheim match, which actually just ended about 30 minutes ago. You're not mistaken, we haven't discussed the Freiburg game from this past weekend, and we're just going to go ahead and skip right over that because we can pretty much sum that up by just saying that Bayern wasted their chances. It was kind of a boring match, the complete opposite of the one that actually just finished. Bayern just beat Heidenheim 5-4. It was a narrow win. Very exciting, but probably for all the wrong reasons. Niklas Süle got sent off after 13 minutes, and it just kind of all fell apart from there. So, Tim, I'll go ahead and go to you. Well, I mean, what happened to Bayern, especially in that first half? Because that was just about as bad as they've played this whole entire season.
Yeah, so I missed the first half of the first half. I don't know why the match was at this time on this day. Like 5:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday. What? Like whose decision? That's irrelevant. So yeah, I wasn't able to see the first half. So I missed Bayern's first goal, and I missed the sending off. The sending off, I saw a replay. It didn't look awful. It didn't look like it was a definite red. It's the sort of thing where I guess in England, like we have the saying of like getting one in early. Mm-hmm. Or like, so it's just like, okay, you can have that, no more though. Like it was a bit of a challenge, but I've seen worse. So what happened throughout the rest of the game? Man, it was really not good. It was a combination of kind of the same thing. Like Heidenheim's equalizer came from people being slow and not moving well, and I think James got dispossessed like right in the middle, and then they got the ball and worked it forward and scored. That's the same problems that I've had with him for a number of weeks now, is he's very slow, and he's also only got one foot that he can really use. So as soon as you know, okay, I need to get this guy onto his right foot, chances are anybody's going to win that challenge. Concentration's another problem. Like we saw some positives from this game. Bayern scored 5 goals. That's really good news. Bayern conceded 4 goals. That's less good news. It's just a magnification of all of the problems that have been happening over the last season. Concentration, individual mistakes, general errors, and it's a shame that it went this way.
It's interesting that you brought up James Rodriguez, and it obviously would be a bit unfair to pin the bad performance on any player, but yeah, I thought he was one that was really disappointing in midfield. And you brought up that whole left foot issue, because he had several times where he could have shot, especially if he had any sort of comfortability with his right foot, where he could have put a shot in the back of the net. But he was just too slow each time, either, you know, hesitated too much to fire the shot, wanted to take another dribble, or, you know, he just completely made the wrong decision, decided to do something else. But yeah, I thought he was kind of bad. And it's kind of getting annoying watching him one week be this all-star player who can, you know, decide the game and who's going to score this hat trick and just look phenomenal. And then the next week he's struggling to retain possession against, you know, aside from the second division. So I guess that's just kind of the type of player he is, though. But I don't want to dwell on that too much. What did you make of the match, Sebastian?
I think what you said is quite true, Benjamin, there, because for me, the biggest issue really was consistency. And that's also a big issue, has been a big issue over a huge part of this season. And I think it was just, yeah, it was yeah, we saw it even more clearly because this time it was in one match. We had all the consistency we've seen through the season wrapped up in one match, in one Pokal game. So yeah, that's really frustrating. Somehow they flipped the switch at some point after the halftime, and then they were so great, and then suddenly they were conceding goals again. And yeah, I was just wondering what was going on there. There were a lot of strange mistakes that we have been seeing earlier this season. Of course, the red card was very frustrating and very strange. I think it was the wrong decision, but anyway, it was not very good from Thiago, not great from Süle either. But yeah, he was in a bad situation there, and he tried to fix it, and it didn't quite work out. And also, we had this strange situation with Hummels when he tried basically to win the duel outside of the box, and then he came too late. And so many very frustrating situations from people we have been seeing playing very well at times. I think it was only very few weeks ago when we talked about how great Hummels has been in several matches, and now we see a mistake like that again, and I think that's really frustrating. And a part of that, I think, always is the problem of the manager. I think that this doesn't speak well about Kovac's performance, really. And I wonder what would have happened if Bayern would have lost today, and if we would only be in one competition going forward. I wonder if Kovac would have been in trouble by now.
Fortunately, we don't have to worry about that because they did end up pulling out the win. And the things that from the first half that I noticed and I made sure to write down was I noticed so after the 13th minute red card, which I think we can all agree I think was a poor call, maybe it's not the wrong call, but by all the views that we got, it looked like Kimmich was there to give cover and it shouldn't have been, you know, last man foul red card. But even so, they were still able to have 67% possession, and then but only two total shots in the first half. One on goal, which was the goal, and then one that was off target. And I just wonder what the mentality going into the match was. I mean, you see a little bit. It was a different lineup than we've ever seen. Lewandowski wasn't starting, and I don't think anybody had a problem with that. And there was, you know, some players that we probably would have wanted to see get a chance to be in that starting 11, like Zhang or Sanchez. But the mentality of the team looked just I don't want to say overconfident, because they weren't trying anything super risky or anything, but they just seemed like they no sense of urgency whatsoever. I noticed a lot of times Thiago did it a few times, James did it a few times, where they'd get the ball, and instead of their first move being toward the opposing goal, their first move was to go backwards. It wasn't like they looked ahead and then turned and passed the ball back. There was a time Thiago actually got the ball, I think it was on the sideline near the benches, and there was a Heidenheim player on his back, and he still tried to go backwards as he was going. And it was, what are we doing? Where are we going? And that was so frustrating in the first half. But then, I don't know. I don't know what I know what the difference was. You take off James, and you take off, who did he take off for Coman?
Rafinha.
Was it Rafinha? Yeah, you take those two off, you put in Lewandowski, and you put in Coman, and all of a sudden, it's boom, 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 goal, 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 opportunity, opportunity. And I think within the first 20 minutes of the second half, Bayern had 6 shots on goal. And I think you might have brought it up in the chat. I think it was Sebastian. That's it. Just the pace of play with James is just so much slower when he's, at least when he's having games like this, where it just seems like it's so inconsistent. And that's the real frustration from the first half, is just it didn't seem like there was anybody that could pull them out of that rut. There was anybody that was really putting any pressure on Heidenheim. And yes, they were down to 10 men, but are we really, I guess it's kind of weird to think that Heidenheim is as good as Bayern when they have 10 men, when Bayern has 10 men. That still doesn't seem to compute to me. Like it looked to me like Bayern should have still scored 3 goals in the first half, but they weren't even pressuring for opportunities.
Sebastian, I'll agree with what you said that the first half and then the starting lineup, neither one really looked good for Niko Kovac, and it kind of, he put himself in a very dangerous situation. But I think to kind of put a positive spin on it, the way that Bayern came out in the second half and the substitutions that he did make, you know, two very risky substitutions using everything he's got at halftime, I think that looks good for him. It bodes well in his favor. Maybe he knew that Robert Lewandowski was going to come out completely inspired after his terrible, well, not necessarily terrible, but his very, very poor performance over the weekend against Freiburg, missing several chances. And I think he deliberately changed things at halftime. I think he motivated his guys. So obviously everyone here is still pretty much supporting Niko Kovac, you know, completely right now. But for those of you who may be listening, who are so, you know, wondering why we're behind him, you know, you got to look at the match holistically, you know, see what he did wrong, sure, and acknowledge it. But then also, you know, he got us back on track. He made the necessary substitutions and brought us back in the second half.
Yeah, I guess I think I was pretty much on the fence about those substitutions. I definitely like that he was risking more than he generally used to be during most of this season. On the other hand, we saw how this nearly went completely wrong when it looked like Koeman would probably not be able to continue playing. This could have gone so wrong at that point. But I guess since that didn't go wrong, it's good to see that it worked out for Kovac, that he risked risked more than he used to, and that it worked out for him. So I do hope we see a bit more of those bold choices in the near future. That would be great, I think.
I think Koeman's situation with him, so when he came on, there was like, okay, he was like playing like left wing back, I think. It was like a really strange 3-2-3-1, I guess, which was really great to see. But then very quickly, he picked up an injury. I couldn't quite see what it was, because he was holding his leg, but then he was also holding his stomach as well. So I don't know if it was like his groin or something. But I would say he played maybe only like 15 really effective minutes, because he went down. And then for the most part, the players were quite reluctant to kind of like give him something to work for. Like, he had a good sprint at the end where he kept the ball in the corner. But there are other cases where, you know, if he was at 100% fitness, he would have been a little bit faster. So I think like he got quite lucky there, because having him and Gnabry as wingbacks was a really good move. Like, as we all saw from the way that the second half started. But yeah, it was like, it was just a little bit too dangerous, because to an extent, one of Heidenheim's goals came from the fact that Koeman wasn't able to track back as quickly as he could. That's just one instance. I think for the most part, it was good. It was exciting to see, okay, this guy's made all of his substitutions really quickly. He's got an idea of what he wants. It was a risk, and it almost didn't pay off, but I think for the most part, he got away with it.
Well, one substitution that definitely didn't pan out as he would have hoped for Niko Kovac was bringing in Jerome Boateng pretty early into the first half. He was brought in to sturdy up the defense, and he pretty much did the opposite. He was caught out of position for each one of Heidenheim's goals that came after that. He was particularly poor. So that leads us into the big deal that Bayern Munich made last week to buy Lucas Hernandez for 80 million euros from Atletico Madrid. He's going to join in July on a five-year contract. It's an absolutely massive move for Bayern Munich. He's the second most expensive defender ever, by far the most expensive Bayern Munich player ever, almost double what they played for Corentin Tolisso a few summers ago. So he's staying in Munich. He's not even going back to Madrid. He's had a surgery. So he's now a Bayern player. To start up with a question, I think I may know the answer after today's game. Garrett, do you think Lucas Hernandez is worth the 80 million euros?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I think that Benjamin Pavard is worth whatever we're paying for him too. And I think that it's just becoming more and more clear that while I think we can still get some really good matches out of Boateng and Hummels, I don't think that it's definitely not worth trying to rely on either of those two as your main center backs going forward. So yeah, no problem with the price, especially given that, you know, it just seems like it's hard to find proven center backs that like Lucas Hernandez. And granted, I mean, I know he hasn't had, I mean, he's not that old. He hasn't had so much experience. Like we talked about back when we were talking about him or De Ligt as kind of being the guys that they should go after. But Hernandez, he plays for Atletico Madrid. He played a significant role on the French national team for the World Cup. Yeah, I think that even if we look back and it's a little bit of an overpay, I can't imagine it's going to be enough of an overpay to say it wasn't worth doing. You know, I think that I don't know what number people would be happy with, but to me, the 80 million mark is fine. I'm perfectly fine with it, especially after today's match.
Anyone disagree with that?
No, I pretty much agree. I think the price is fair. It's not a very good price, but it's a fair price you can pay for a player like that. Of course, a club like Bayern Munich, we have kind of a history making, yeah, better deals than that. I guess we have never paid as much as clubs that achieve similar success as we have. But yeah, you can't just in a situation like the situation we're in right now, you cannot rely on getting steals all the time. You just have to pay market prices, and I think that's a fair price. And I think if in our situation, he's worth the price. So yeah, should be fine.
And with Benjamin Pavard coming for 35 million euros, which is the reported fee, I think it makes it a little bit more acceptable to spend higher on Hernandez. But so with Pavard coming and with Hernandez coming, Tim, do you think that Jerome Boateng will definitely be shown the exit door this summer? Or maybe Mats Hummels will be shown the exit door this summer?
If it's either of the two, I think my money would be on Jerome Boateng. If only because Mats Hummels is not been there for as long. Boateng has been, it's kind of the same principle with people bad-mouthing Robin and Ribery. Like, these are players that have worked very, very hard, and at one point in their career at Bayern, they were the absolute best at what they did. Like, Boateng's like transition from being an okay centre-back to one of the best in the world to maybe the best in the world at one point was really quite quick and meteoric. And it is interesting that he was one of the people from that, was it like the Project 2021, where there was a group of players that were all signed to 2021. So like him, Martinez, Alaba, there was like Müller was another one. I can't remember who the rest are, but it is, he's obviously been a very, very loyal servant. Well, obviously, if you're under contract, you kind of don't have much of a choice to be loyal. He's been a noble servant. Is that the right word? He's been a good servant to the club. He's done what we have needed for what we needed him to do at times. And it is a shame to see him kind of fall so dramatically. But if he does go, it's not going to be the end of the world, because, you know, he's going to go out as somebody that won the Champions League with Bayern and a World Cup winner. And he was at Bayern at the time. He's a fantastic player through his throughout history. But if it is time for anybody to go, it's probably him.
Do you think Bayern still need to make any more additions to their defense over the summer?
Right back. I think they need to probably get a more dedicated right back Rafinha type replacement. I figured I'd get that in there before Sebastian did, so we don't have him be the one trick pony on that. But no, that'd be the one area of defense that I would. But it's a little bit less of a concern if you have Hernandez and Pavard and Alaba and Kimmich, who can kind of shift around. It's a little bit less of a concern, but I do think that it would probably be wise to get another guy that you feel like you could rely on if you needed to.
Well, the fact that Bayern bought Lucas Hernandez for 80 million euros and that they announced it this early, they got it out of the way now. Do you think that's an indicator, Sebastian, that we really are in for that big summer that they've been promising for so long?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I cannot imagine anything else than that at this point. I think there are so many names, very plausibly linked to Bayern Munich, that I think some of those are still going to happen. And so I think there is no way we're not spending at least 200 million at this point, I think. I'm not quite sure if Bayern is still trying to sign De Ligt, because that has also been talked about this week. I'm not so confident about that, because it would really be crazy if we would spend like over 150 million on three center backs. That would really be exceptional. Something I don't know if any club has ever done anything like that. I cannot really see that, but I'm pretty sure that the offense is also going to get a couple of upgrades. Not one, I think at least two should be coming. And yeah. We have seen that over the last couple of weeks, how many names have been linked to Bayern, the Havana and Tovin and Pepe and Havertz and Brand and so many other names. It's going to be interesting. And I'm very curious what's going to happen in the end.
Yeah, well, it's definitely exciting to see who ends up coming in. If I had to wager, I'd bet that we have at least one more name announced before the summer window technically opens up, as is typical Bayern Munich fashion. So I guess this weekend we'll see how badly we need those players when Bayern Munich take on Borussia Dortmund in the season's second Der Klassiker. It's the late game on Saturday. It's the same time, Tim, so I know today's time didn't exactly work out for you, the 5:30 over there, but... maybe
if it's at the weekend, yeah, it's fine.
Maybe it being on a Saturday will be a little bit better for you.
Yeah, I'll have a word with my people. We can try and work something out.
Well, this time it's at the Allianz Arena, so Bayern gave Borussia Dortmund a pretty good fight last time and inarguably should have won that game and kind of blew it late on. So, but this game has massive implications for how the rest of the season goes, not only for Bayern Munich, but for Borussia Dortmund. So, Tim, I'm going to come back to you. Do you think that now, with Bayern being behind Dortmund in the league, that if we lose this match, then that's the Bundesliga gone for us this season?
Yes. There's still 6 games left. There's still a lot of points up to up for grabs, and we've clawed back before. But then when we were clawing back before, we had the advantage of we still have to play Dortmund, so there's always that. I don't want to say that it is over, because I've never really enjoyed that whole, like, oh, that's it, you can kiss that goodbye, that's never happening again. But that's the very real possibility this weekend. But I don't know. Who knows? Like, Dortmund have slipped up before this season and then got back and then slipped up again. for the most part, they've been neck and neck with Bayern for a really long time. And so I don't think like a 1-1 against Freiburg is really that, like, that much of an indicator that Bayern have lost the league already. It's going to be interesting.
I think the one thing that I have been trying to remind myself is that we were kind of surprised that Bayern were at the top of the table the last couple weeks. I mean, if you had looked in January and said we were going to be 2 points behind Dortmund going into the match against them at the Allianz Arena, we would have gladly taken that. And some of the recent results have been a little bit disappointing, and so it may color how we go into that match. But I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is that it's still very much within Bayern's reach, and even with a loss, you're still within striking distance. You can still make that up. Is it very likely? No, but it's still within striking distance. Having said that, the players can't go in with that mindset. The players have to go in desperate for a win, because we don't want to see another replay of what we saw at the beginning of this Heidenheim match, where, you know, you expect that, oh, well, we'll get it eventually. Now, I don't think that – I think that this Heidenheim match actually might serve as kind of a wake-up call. It's like, you know, we could – Bayern, you remember, you can lose to anybody. I mean, you literally just drew with Freiburg on the weekend. It should have been enough, but surely this cracker of a match was enough to get them – excited and looking forward and to the match on Saturday with a lot of determination and just ready to go get that first place in the table, and then hopefully hold on to it. That's the main thing.
If this if the Heidenheim game didn't serve as a wake-up call for the players, I hope it served as kind of an indicator for Niko Kovac as to who's going to step up and who's going to play with passion, with determination to win, because, like we talked about earlier, there was a lot of that missing from today's match against Heidenheim, and that has to be there 100% against Borussia Dortmund at the weekend. So with that thought in mind, we'll go ahead and look at our key players and then also the starting line that we would go out with if we were Niko Kovac. So, Sebastian, whenever you're ready, I'll let you go ahead and start.
I guess there are some questions there because we don't know which players are actually going to be available there. But, yeah, I don't know. Are we sure about the state of Alaba? I think Alaba is up in the air, right? Or is he ruled out?
I think he's more likely to be fit than Manuel Neuer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, David Alaba is going to be an important question here. Because if Alaba can't play, we would have to rely on Rafinha again, whose performance I didn't exactly like today, and who I don't like exactly, period. So I guess I would not be happy playing him. Three at the back didn't perfectly work out today, but that was with Kimmich as one of the center backs. So, yeah, that's not ideal too, so I would prefer going with Hummels and Süle, Kimmich and Alaba, of course, and the defense. And yeah, I think the match today showed us that we're going to need Javi Martinez. I would definitely bring him in against Dortmund. I think, yeah, the instability we saw today, the inconsistency on defense, not only on defense, but especially on defense, showed us that we definitely need Javi Martinez. I guess the big question here now is, what are we going to do with James? Are we going to play James or are we not going to play James? I think the game against Dortmund is not really ideal for him. I guess the Heidenheim game would technically have been the better match for James, because I think he's better at breaking up those very sturdy defenses when the opposition is playing very defensively. I think he's a player who can play who can play passes that break up these very sturdy, very conservative defenses. And I think that's not what we're going to see against Dortmund. So I think it's not going to be ideal for him. So I'm going to go with Javi Martinez, with Thiago, with Koeman, Gnabry, Müller, and with Lewandowski. I think we need the speed. I guess you could be tempted to leave Koeman for the second half again. There's also, I guess, a possibility that his injury, we might find out that his injury he picked up today is a bit more serious. So maybe we're going to see. But if he's able to play and if he's all right, I guess I would start him. And I hope that for a speedy alternative for the second half, that Alphonso Davies is hopefully going to be available, which I think is also not clear yet. So you're going to have to wait and see about that.
I think my starting lineup would probably look exactly like yours, Sebastian, but I'm a bit more torn on the issue of James, because he does kind of strike me as a big game player. He likes to step up when he knows that a game really matters, when he knows that, almost like when he knows that there's more people watching, that it's a bigger match. He's a big game player. So I might be tempted to start him and then put Gnabry on the left, Müller on the right, and bring in Kingsley Coman on the second half, like you suggested. But that being said, right now, I'd probably lean toward the starting 11 that you mentioned. I think that when you consider or factor in consistency and, just determination, who's kind of on form, I think that's who I'd probably go with, because Thomas Müller has to start for me, especially against Borussia Dortmund. So he's got to get in there somewhere. And I'd rather, after what we saw him and Lewandowski do, combining today, I know it was against Heidenheim and not Dortmund, but after we saw that today, I think, you don't want to separate those two. And then obviously Serge Gnabry has been, underrated this season. He's been excellent for Bayern Munich and a major help on the wings. I hate to imagine where we'd be without him. So, obviously Javi Martinez needs to get back into defensive midfield, because he may not be the quickest option, but Leon Goretzka really hasn't been that great for me recently. He's been kind of quiet and invisible in a lot of his recent games. And I think we're going to need Javi Martinez, if nothing else, to sit in the hole and almost man mark Marco Reus, who would be my key player for Borussia Dortmund, because they're just a completely different side without him. So if I had to pick a key player for Bayern, I'd probably go Lewandowski again, just because he is our main goal scoring outlet. And if he plays like he did today, then we're going to be in good shape. But if he plays like he did on the weekend, it could get ugly pretty quickly.
I think that my 11 would be a little bit different. I think I have all the same thoughts as you guys. But I think I'm looking at more of kind of that 4-4-1-1 look almost, with Müller just behind Lewandowski. And then I'd put Gnabry and Goretzka on the wide midfield roles, which I don't know which side for which, but I think I'd have them both in there. And then I'd have Thiago and Javi doing kind of the double pivot type role. Because I do think that all those things that you guys talked about are not just valid. I think they're good points. I think that those are things that Bayern definitely have to be thinking about. And I guess my reason for wanting Goretzka still in there is that I think that, so we had kind of an argument about Lewandowski on the weekend. I didn't think he was as bad as you guys did, but that's fine. My biggest concern when it comes to Lewandowski, and this is dealing with Goretzka as well. You'll figure it out. You're smart people. So Lewandowski's biggest contribution outside of just scoring goals is pulling defenses towards him and getting shots off still. taking the time to look at how all the goals, all four of the goals happened in the second half of this Heidenheim match. Lewandowski headed the ball to Müller for a goal, for the first goal in the 53rd minute. The next goal was a beautiful build-up between Gnabry, Müller, and Lewandowski. The next goal was Gnabry tap-in on the other side of a cross or a corner kick. But the reason he was so wide open was because there was two guys that got drawn to Lewandowski, and it left Serge Gnabry wide open. And then obviously Lewandowski was involved in what caused the handball and got the penalty kick. He had 10 shots against Freiburg. And yes, I totally agree. Your job is to put the ball in the back of the net, and he didn't connect. But he is the only one that's generating shots, it seems like, for on a consistent basis for Bayern. The next closest guy always seems to be Goretzka. He's always getting shots on goal. And I think Bayern, they need to be a little bit more direct against Dortmund. I don't think that trying to play possession football and just play keep away essentially is the way to go. And so to me, I think that he's at least getting shots on net. He's at least causing things to happen. And then you may end up, maybe that's the hockey person in me. Actually, I'm just realizing it. In hockey, it's like just put the puck at the net, and you know, who knows what'll happen as it, you know, on its way there. It takes a deflection, you get a nice rebound, whatever. So that's kind of my thinking on Goretzka and on Lewandowski for that matter. But I think you're right, Ben, that Lewandowski is going to be key, because we all know that the knock against him is that he's not a big game player, and quite frankly, we need him to be. And so he either is going to be a big game player and show up for a huge match against his old club, or he's not, and those criticisms get even harder to defend against from people like me who tried to do it. And so he's definitely the key guy for Bayern in this match. I think Jadon Sancho might be the guy for me on the other side of the pitch. And just because he was so instrumental in our last matchup, I think if Bayern can put the brakes on him a little bit more for a full 90 minutes, then they're looking pretty good. I mean, obviously you can go with Royce and you'd never be wrong, I don't think, unless he just wasn't playing. But yeah, I think Sancho's going to be kind of a guy I keep an eye on.
Are you trying to say I took the easy way out, Garrett?
Maybe a little bit. But actually, because since you went, you called him first, you get that opportunity.
Wow, great.
You know, you got to take your shots when you get them.
Thank you.
Nobody ever chooses Omar Toprak. Makes me sad. It's the Rafinha of the Westfalen Stadium.
That's what Omar Toprak says when he gets home after training, and he's been the last player picked on by either side.
How's training? No, same again. Nobody talks to Omar Toprak.
The best part is that he's talking in third person, being the last person to be picked.
Okay, my 11 for Dortmund, what we saw of the three at the back against Heidenheim, for about 10 minutes, it was great. It was really, really good. And it was, the way I saw it was a 3-2-3-1. In my mind, at a full strength squad, that would be a 3-2-3-2 with Gnabry and Coman providing the width, Kimmich playing slightly more closer, and he stayed back quite a lot, and which is good, because when he stays back, he can actually be defensively quite solid. So I've got two squads in mind. They're exactly the same, but Bayern start as a 4-1-4-1 with Kimmich, Süle, Hummels, Alaba, Martinez in the middle, and then in front of Martinez, Thiago and Goretzka, Müller out wide, Gnabry on the left, Lewandowski up front. This then changes to a 3-2-3-2 with either Kimmich at the back and Alaba playing on as a wide left, or Alaba at the back and Kimmich playing wide right and Gnabry playing on the left. Thiago Martinez in the middle, Goretzka playing as a 10, and then Müller and Lewandowski up front. So in Guardiola's last season, Müller and Lewandowski as a striking duo, rather than, okay, you are there to facilitate Lewandowski, it was more, you are both there to work together. It was great. We scored a lot of goals and we caused a lot of damage to a lot of good teams. So if we can get that working again, I think Dortmund would be the team to do it, to like really show, yeah, Müller isn't like off form like he has been for 3 years. Like, he is actually a very gifted and useful player. I think that's probably the way to play him. Saying that, he's been playing as a right winger for last couple of months, and he's actually been doing quite well. I know a lot of people say, oh, Müller's not a right winger, like he's wasted out wide. He's been fine. He's been doing exactly what he needed to. This is not a game for James. I realise that he has been like a big game player, like the games against Madrid last season. He's just been too ineffective in big games this season. He tries. I can give him that. He does try. He was trying against Liverpool, but to no avail. He was trying something today, but to no avail. With a team like Dortmund that's just going to run at you, you need somebody that's going to be quick on the ball. Goretzka's faster. He's much stronger and can do a similar job. He's maybe not as good of a 10 as James is, as James is. But I think what you sacrifice in quality there, you more than make up for in other departments. So that's my team. I'm confident.
I guess we can also just call him J-Rod.
J-Rod. The people in the background, Garrett.
Yeah, really, they're really obviously like laughing about my brilliant joke.
I just don't have any words to
J-Rod. Do we think Bayern Munich is going to win this game, or is it just a little bit too much to ask right now, Sebastian?
No, it's not too much to ask right now. I would never say that. I guess it's just very much up in the air. We have been talking about this inconsistency, and the good thing about the inconsistency is it works two ways. It's not that we're a bad team overall. We might as well catch one of those good days, one of those good performances, and then, of course, I guess we can easily win the match. I mean, Dortmund has not been invincible or anything. They have been good, of course. They have been very good, but yeah, I think it should be an easier match than the Liverpool matches. So I think we can very much win this match, but I would not be surprised if we win by 3 goals. I would also not be very surprised if we lose by 3 goals. So a lot's possible there, I would say.
I like that quote. The good thing about inconsistency is that it works both ways. And it rings very true for Bayern Munich this season. We talked earlier about Niko Kovac almost got himself in trouble today with the Heidenheim game. A lot of people say if Niko Kovac loses against Dortmund this weekend, he might not be the coach next season. Tim, what do you make of that? Do you agree that if Bayern lose this weekend, Kovac could be shown the exit door?
I think he's got more of a chance of being sacked after the Dortmund game than he did being sacked after a potential loss to Heidenheim. Because like, who's going to sack a manager before the biggest game of the season? Like, you need somebody there. Like, you can't get Willy Sanyol in again for 10 minutes to be like, I'll just go tell him what to do. Yeah, I think it could be like we said it earlier, this is a season defining game. This is the biggest game of the season, at least in the Bundesliga. this is the biggest game of Niko Kovac's career. It's bigger than back-to-back cup finals. This is, can you win the league with Bayern? Ancelotti said anybody can do it with their hands in their pockets. Can Niko Kovac do it with a very, very big scarf and windbreaker? That's what I want to see. Is he going to get sacked if he loses? Again, it depends entirely on if he loses, and if he loses, then how badly he loses. Like, you can, we saw today, you can win really, really badly. You can also lose very well. Like, you know, you can say that Heidenheim lost very well today. And in a way, they're the winners of football. Like, they won the heart of the fan, or they won the respect of the fans. I think Bayern would have to put in like another really weak performance and, you know, maybe lose. If they lose 3-1 at home again, yeah, chances are he probably won't stay for very long afterwards. But again, it would have to really, really capitulate for Kovac to go.
I could have imagined him being fired during the season if he had lost today, and if Bayern would also lose against Dortmund on Saturday. Then I could imagine him being fired before the season is out. But I can no longer really imagine that. So, nah, I think if he loses badly, and if the rest of the season also develops not the best way, so to speak, I think then there is a slight chance he might not be the coach by the first game then in the new season. But that's basically all, I guess.
I'm just so tired of the conversation of, you know, every time it's not a masterclass when we're talking whether he's going to be gone. And I understand that we have to, because that's kind of the talk of the fans as well, which we are. But I guess I look at the course of the season and I think they bought into this project from the get-go. They went through some of the lower points, and even though it's still not humming along like we want it to, maybe I'm just being I've just determined to be patient through this whole process and just see where we're at the end of the year and then make the decision. Because I don't think that even if you what are you changing, I guess? So he gets sacked after losing the Dortmund, then what? Well, we're still probably not going to win the Bundesliga. We're still, you know, we're still hoping to get the Pokal. Maybe you're talking about, you know, going, gives a new coach more time to lead up into next season. But even then, you're probably dealing with an interim manager anyway. So I just don't think that it makes a whole lot of sense. I do agree that if he had lost today and at the weekend, then maybe there's more of a serious discussion going on, because you can't, even though they went down to 10 men, and even though the red card that kind of equalized the match was suspect, you still can't lose to Heidenheim. And especially given all the kind of breaks that Bayern have gotten to, in terms of the draw to get to that point, you can't lose that match. But he didn't lose it. Maybe it's not as pretty as everybody wanted, but he still didn't lose it. And let's just move along, see, and figure out how we can get to the end of the year and then make a decision. They can have those conversations behind the scenes. If they decide he's done, then and maybe that's the question, is maybe, you know, does that make their mind up for them at the end of the year? But he's still going to end up being the coach until the end of the season, I think.
Well, hopefully he silences his critics this weekend with a great win. But if he doesn't, Garrett, the conversation's only going to get more and more intense and more loud from the vocal minority.
I know, and it's, and it's gonna just be just soul crushing to me, because there are times where I've joined in on that type of conversation of like, let's get rid of the manager, should we get rid of the manager, and all those things, but it just gets to where it's people want to blame somebody, and we can it's easy to point the finger at the new coach that doesn't have any big club experience, but like most of us, I would say the vast majority of us Bayern fans have never been in a position like Kovac or any of the board or Uli or KHR. You know, it's like we can complain and we can have our theories for how things are going to get fixed, but like there's a real possibility that, you know, you get rid of Kovac and you bring in someone worse. You know, you bring in Mourinho, you know, Ben's favorite, and now all of a sudden what have you done? Like, where are you going? You're just throwing things at the wall to see if they stick. Stick with a plan. If you have a plan, you thought it was going to work, stick with it longer than a year, and unless it's just blatantly obvious that this isn't working, that's my theory. And I don't know. It's just going to be just painful if we have to listen to that for the rest of, you know, the next, 2 months.
I guess that's a great opportunity to repeat one of my mantras while you stole my other one about us needing a right back. who are you going to get? So that's the scarier part of this discussion. Is there really the manager out there you want to tie the fate of your favorite club to for half a year or a year or even longer? Is there the guy out there that we all prefer to Niko Kovac? And I think this person just isn't out there. I guess there's this saying, right? Even if you don't really like Niko Kovac, the devil you know, I guess, is preferable to the one you don't know. So even if I would not like Niko Kovac at all, I would still wonder, who are we going to get if we fire him?
Well, the devil I don't know is probably a lot better than Jose Mourinho. I can go ahead and tell you
yeah,
that.
Okay, yeah. I guess I agree there.
Well, before we get too much into the Niko Kovac debate, that's all the time that we have for today. You can follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod to stay up to date or to get in touch with us. You can also email us at SuperBayernPod@gmail.com. You can catch us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all the major podcast catchers. Go out and tell all your friends about us. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.